This is Campus Journal, program number 806 for Monday, May 31st, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I don't know about you, but there are some days when that infernal alarm goes off in the morning, and I just want to ignore the thing. I want to lie right there and say, I'm staying home. But I don't. I have a wife and three children who need me to get out there and go to work, and so I do. And there are some days when I come home from work, and I just like to sit down, read through the sports section of the paper, watch a ball game on TV, all by myself. But I don't do that either. I have a family that wants to talk with me and tell me about their day, read books, play baseball in the backyard, have me help them with their homework. And so I do. Now, there's no law that says I have to go to work, and there aren't any local ordinances that say I have to spend my evenings with my kids. That's pretty much my decision. But I do it because of our relationship. I love my family, and I spend time with them and do what's in their best interests, give up some of my personal desires for the good of the relationship. And so let me ask you something. Are there some days when you wake up in the morning and you wonder why you're reading the Bible again today, when so many of your friends think it's just a weird old book? Or why you do your best to live by biblical standards when all the fun seems to be had by everybody who's not? No one says you have to. But you do, because of the relationship, because Jesus Christ is your Savior, your friend, your prayer partner before God, and because you know that if that relationship is going to get better, well, then you have to give up some things. But it's worth it, isn't it? Because of the relationship. Well, thanks for listening to today's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, jot down this number and then call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And let me ask you, what's beautiful to you? A seashore? Maybe a view of the mountains? Or seeing a big city all lit up at night? Maybe that girl or guy in your history class, that's beautiful to you. Well, you know, the southwestern part of the United States has some really beautiful sights. Arizona, of course, has the Grand Canyon. To stand at its rim at sunrise and view its immense, color-splashed beauty, well, that's really something. And then New Mexico has those caverns. Explorers who've descended deep into them describe a vast and intricate wonderland whose beauty is far beyond anything they've ever seen. Kelly Lewis, who's a writer for the Detroit Free Press, quoted a geologist as saying that everything down there is almost alien. I've been in caverns so beautiful that you just have to leave. Just can't take it. But you know, as beautiful as these wonders may be, when it comes right down to it, they're not much when compared to the beauty of something that we really can't even see with our eyes. I'm talking about the character of God. Imagine just once glimpsing Him as He really is, in all His splendor, so pure in His goodness, so beautiful in His character. Our sin-darkened eyes couldn't bear to look at Him. Just notice how two Old Testament people responded when they saw God. When Moses asked for a vision of God, the Almighty had to shield him from seeing His face. And when Isaiah caught a glimpse of God's glory, he cried, "Woe is me, I'm ruined." So I think as we think of God's awesomeness today, let's, with His help, try to develop more of God's character in our lives. Because I think that's one result of really grasping the greatness of God. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and just for a minute, I want you to imagine that you're a child again, all right? That you're sitting and listening to a story about a kid named Jack who had a cow that he traded for a handful of beans. Not too bright, was he? Well, he could have sold the milk or the beef from that cow, made a lot of money. Anyway, wouldn't you know it, Jack's dumb move turned into a stroke of genius. These beans were magic beans, and they grew into an oversized beanstalk that led to a giant that Jack ended up robbing blind. So Jack was, I guess, not only a little dense, he was also a little thief, wasn't he? Well, as he grew older, he realized that there are no magic beans, no giant beanstalks, no hens that lay golden eggs. It was just a story. By growing up, you learn to discern truth from fiction. At least least I hope that's the case. Because, you see, as a Christian, you need to be wise in detecting the difference between what's true about God and yourself and the Christian life and what's not. And the best way to develop that discernment is to study the Bible. Because if you ignore God's Word, you'll end up being a spiritual shrimp, like someone the writer of Hebrews in the Bible described when he wrote, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk is still an infant. Solid food, that's for the mature, who train themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so therefore, let us go on to maturity. That's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's spend the time we need in God's Word to develop the ability to tell fact from fiction. No more giant beanstalks and magic beans. Just the truth. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a copy of our printed CJ booklet that may be a helpful tool for getting you into the Bible on a daily basis so that you can develop that discernment, just give us a call and we'll send you one free of charge. Call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and a young woman met her boyfriend's parents for the first time at a fancy restaurant. Listen to how her letter to her own mother tells the rest of the story.
Mom, I did everything you taught me. I coordinated my clothing the night before, brushed my teeth, sat up straight, kept my elbows off the table, smiled, listened closely, and even tried to contribute intelligently. But when my tab with a lemon twist arrived, I raised the glass to my lips and rammed the plastic straw into my nose. Blood squirted and dripped onto the white silk blouse she gave me for my birthday. I wanted to die.
Well, can you identify with her embarrassment? Well, I sure can. But the first thing I try to remember in those kinds of situations where I feel like a hopeless klutz is that I'm really not the only one who ever does stuff like that. Even the smoothest people, at times, trip on throw rugs. And I also like to remember what it says in Psalm 103 in the Bible. There David wrote that the Lord understands our humanness. He's patient with us because he remembers that we are dust. And it's not just in physical things that we blow it, is it? Spiritually, we're less than perfect too. We're always in the process of growing more like Christ. And really, sinless perfection isn't realistic, is it? So you're feeling a bit down on yourself lately? Well, remember God's great love and patience toward you as it's expressed in Psalm 103. It just might pick you up and encourage you to keep on trying. Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you or someone you know would like to use our monthly CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. We'll send it free of charge. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you know, sometimes I don't know whom to feel the most sorry for. People who start unfounded rumors, or those who believe them. Like the one about scientists in the old Soviet Union, who reportedly drilled a hole straight into hell. Now, according to Doug Troughton, who's the editor of the Twin Cities Christian, the story goes like this. Workers on an offshore oil rig had drilled the deepest hole ever burrowed into the Earth's crust. And one day they suddenly stopped drilling because they smelled sulfur and they heard people screaming in pain. Now, we believe the Bible when it says that there's a hell to avoid, but come on, it's pretty obvious that these workers hadn't found it. And yet the story was told and many people believed it. You see, someone was trying to see if a Christian broadcasting organization was careful about its sources, and so this person made up the story and sent it in. And unfortunately, the broadcasting organization ran the story without checking its truthfulness. But, you know, other false stories have made the rounds among Christians, haven't they? Like atheists trying to get Christian broadcasting off the air, a soap company giving its profits to a satanic church, and a massive computer that has info on every person on the face of the earth, ready for use by the Antichrist. Now, as people of God, we should be people of the truth. What we read, and what we see on the tube, what we hear from others, we need to be on the lookout for truth. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, think about those things. So don't let yourself be fooled. If it's not the truth, don't buy it. Well, thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet with entries for each day built around a truth from God's Word, Just request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And when you're in the military, you're expected to follow its code of conduct, right? Its men and women are to dress and conduct themselves in a manner that brings honor to their branch of the service. Now, just suppose a new recruit gets caught in town in a dirty, disheveled uniform. He's been unruly in a restaurant, and he's been yelling at the patrons and making passes at the waitresses. And when his officer confronts him, the recruit says, "Ah, come on, Sergeant, just forget it. You know, I'm really a Marine at heart." Well, how many hundred push-ups do you think that retort would be worth? But now let's shift the focus to living for Christ. Is it okay to be a Christian at heart and to skip the right kind of behavior? Which is really the issue, belief or behavior? Well, if you said both, then you're right. Because throughout the Bible, God always links faith and behavior. They kind of go together like Michael Jordan and endorsements. You don't have one without the other. And in Ephesians chapter 4 in the Bible, we're given a code of conduct for those who claim to be Christians. Six specific behaviors are listed there in Ephesians chapter 4. Number one, tell the truth, don't lie. Number two, don't let your anger make you sin. Three, work, don't steal. Number four, say words that build people up, not critical words that tear them down. Number five, don't be mean. Be forgiving, because God has forgiven you. And number six, no jokes about sex or moral impurity. Now remember, we're not saved because we follow these standards, but we follow these standards because we're saved. And so Lord, help us to live out our faith. Help us to show that we believe in you through actions like those that are listed there in Ephesians 4. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you or someone you know would like a free copy of our CJ booklet, just let us know when you call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading, and I'll see you tomorrow. Can you imagine life without TV? Well, now after you've recovered from the absurdity of that question, feel free to keep listening to today's entry in the Campus Journal. Because let's face it, for many of us, watching the tube has become as much a part of our lives as eating, sleeping, and studying. But believe it or not, there's a guy named Adam Light who has never watched television. He's alive today, he's 22, and he's never watched TV. You see, Mom and Dad Light felt that if they protected Adam from certain parts of our culture, well, he'd have a better chance to succeed in life. So they never allowed him to watch Saturday morning cartoons or Mr. Rogers or Walton's reruns, none of those. And so far, their plan seems to have worked pretty well. Adam, who attends the University of California at Berkeley, which, by the way, was recently judged to be the best university in the nation by the American Council of Learned Societies, was voted the most exceptional senior in 1992 out of his class of 5,500. So you might say that Adam is the best student at the best university in the U.S. Now, Adam, who reads for recreation, says the only drawback to no TV is that, well, sometimes he says, I feel like a stranger in my own culture. I don't know the songs to Coke commercials or how to act or talk like Bart Simpson. And you know, you and I may sometimes feel like Adam. Our Christian convictions can cause us to do or not to do what a lot of people view as normal and right. And so we feel odd or maybe persecuted. Let me tell you, hang in there, because really you're not missing anything worthwhile. Psalm 84:11 says that the Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk in uprightness. I'll tell you, that promise is a good promise to remember. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And how many TVs and VCRs do you have? Could you get along without your radios or TVs or CD players? Are there more pieces of electronic equipment than books in your room? Well, an article in the New York Times said that American homes have been taken over by electronics. One father, for example, acknowledged that his family has 5 TVs, 3 VCRs, and 9 telephones. Let's face it, we're more involved with high tech than we think. Now, one man said he didn't think he had a lot of equipment. He just had a VCR, 2 TVs, the usual CD and cassette players. But later it was learned that he still didn't have a sofa in his apartment. And you know, the people the Lord was speaking to in Malachi's day in the Old Testament of the Bible had a similar situation. No, they didn't have too many VCRs, but But they had lost track of how much of the world's values they were accumulating. And then, when God's prophet confronted them about it, well, they denied that they'd been disobeying God's law. They conveniently forgot that they'd been keeping the good animals for themselves, and they'd been sacrificing the blind, and lame, and sick ones to God. Now hear me, obviously, computers, VCRs, telephones, those things aren't bad in themselves. In fact, it's hard to think of getting through life without them now. But if we let those things lead us to adopt values that are harmful, or attitudes that dishonor God, or a thirst for sexual fulfillment outside of God's plan, well then we need to rethink how we're using those things. And that's something to think about in today's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221 or write to us at Campus Journal Radio, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49555. Well, I'm Brian Hettinga. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you have the technique down pat. What you do is you stick your head in the living room and say very quickly, "Mom, just going to the mall with the guys. Be back in a couple hours." But Mom stops you with that feared command, "Oh, please wait a minute." And she then proceeds to outline some boring task. It sounds like it's going to take you a lot longer than a minute to accomplish. Now, you do have an option. You can act like you didn't hear, and you can bolt for the car. But you know that the consequences of doing that usually far outweigh the burden of Mom's original task. And you know, there are a lot of times when we use this approach with God, don't we? Rather than sincerely looking for His guidance, we check in with a quick prayer just to let Him know what we're doing. But we really don't want any input from Him because He might want us to change our plans or something. There's an incident told by Jeremiah in the Bible that illustrates this. After the foreign governor is killed in Judah by a lone assassin, some Jews decide that they need to flee to Egypt because they think they'll be blamed for it. Well, along the way, to be RC, religiously correct, they check in with Jeremiah to get God's approval. Now, the leaders claim to be open to God's will, but when Jeremiah gives them God's reply, which is, "Stay put and I'll protect you," they respond, "Jeremiah, you're lying." So they kidnap Jeremiah, take him with them. Now, they had no intention of ever listening to God in that situation, did they? Now, God promises that He will answer our prayers. Our responsibility is to be open to His will. But if you've already made up your mind, why bother praying? If you're just checking in with God, let Him know what you've decided. Don't waste your time. He already knows. Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet with entries like these for each day, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. I've got a tough question for you today. Why do we do stupid things? We do, don't we? Well, in his Washington Post column, Joel Achenbach says that people are irrational. They smoke cigarettes. They have romances with creeps. And they convince themselves that they can reach the green with a three wood over the trees. Now, Achenbach suggests that one reason we make dumb decisions is that failure vindicates our self-image. He says, you wander around your house at night, barefoot, with the lights off, and suddenly, whang, you're hopping up and down and saying, "Why, I'm such an idiot." Though blinded by pain, he says, at least you know who you are. Now, there's another explanation suggested by Seymour Epstein. He's a psychologist at the University of Massachusetts. And he explains that we have two minds. He says one's logical and the other is non-rational and instinctive. And then there's the explanation which is offered by the Apostle Paul in the Bible. Now, he acknowledged that, he sometimes did what was wrong, even though it made no sense. He wanted to please God, yet he still sometimes gave in to sinful desires. But Paul told us how to overcome those sinful tendencies. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote, "Live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So, what do you do when you're tempted to do something stupid, like throw away your values for a one-night fling? Well, first, think it through from God's perspective, and then depend on God's Spirit for the strength to do what's right. And then tomorrow morning, you won't have to kick yourself and say, "Boy, why did I do such a stupid thing?" Well, that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And if you or someone you know would be able to use our monthly CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. We'll send it free of charge. I'm Brian Hettinga. Have a good weekend.